Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. This week, Carrie Schmidt is back and we are chatting about what it is like to write an art book. I've always wanted to write a book, but it always ends up in the too hard basket. The process seems daunting and I worry about how I would fit it in with all the other aspects of running an art business. It was wonderful to chat with Carrie about this, as Carrie is a full-time artist, instructor and author. She sells original paintings, teaches online and in-person workshops, licenses her art with various companies, and always has a few books on the go. Her latest book, The Story of Every Flower, is a celebration of her 10-year journey as an artist. In our conversation, Carrie takes us behind the scenes. You'll hear about what inspired the book, the rituals and routines that have helped Carrie to create it, why she chose to self-publish, and how she is approaching the marketing and distribution of the book. If you've ever thought about writing a book, I encourage you to take a listen, and if you'd like to get your hands on a copy of Carrie's beautiful book, all the details are linked in the show notes. And you can find the show notes at laurahornart.com/thepodcast107. Before we hear from Carrie, I wanted to say a big thank you for the warm welcome that Richie and I have received after returning from our podcast break. We've been absolutely blown away, and this morning a review came in that I'd love to share. It came from M. Butcher via Apple Podcasts USA, and the title is Art Music for My Ears. Never have I ever looked forward to a return of a podcast as I have yours. Of course, I support your much-deserved break, but ever since I discovered your podcast, I have enjoyed every minute of it, and I'm always wanting more. So I hope you've enjoyed your break, and congratulations on the new house. Thank you so much. We are so grateful for all of your support and encouragement. Okay, so now let's get into the podcast. I will say just before we start that Carrie usually heads to her local library to access Wi-Fi for Skype for our calls. But due to COVID-19, the library was closed, so she was sitting in her car outside the library for this phone call. So if you hear a few cars in the background, that's the reason why. But we didn't want COVID-19 to get in the way of us having a conversation. So let's get into it, and the episode begins with me asking Carrie if she has always wanted to be an author. Did you ever think that you would write a book? Like, was it something that you wanted to do when you were a child, or did you kind of stumble into it?
Yeah, so I've always wanted to write a book. I think it was first grade, I wrote like 50 pages of a story about a raccoon, and I was so proud of it, but it made no sense whatsoever. Like, when I read it back, I couldn't keep track of anything, and so it was very repetitive. But no, I've loved books ever since I can remember, and they were such an important part of my childhood. So it was always a dream, but I didn't know if I could. And so I feel like we reserve that title for, like, just, it's the same thing as an artist. Like, only certain people are writers, or only certain people are artists. And yeah, I think now, today, more than ever, anybody can write a book because of technology. And there's so many ways you could print it or publish it. There's just more options than ever. It's something I've always wanted to do. And I do believe that everybody has at least one book or, you know, one story in them to share. I would encourage everybody who wants to do it to do it.
So I know that you have a new book coming out, The Story of Every Flower, but it's not your first book. When did you write your first book?
So my first one was in 2015. One day I was in my studio and I just decided that I was going to send out a book proposal. So I wrote one right there and then, and I submitted it to Northlight Books, which publishes a lot of art technique books. And now they're owned by Penguin Random House, so they've been bought. I sent it and I thought, I'll never hear from them again. That was fun, like, moving on. And then I got an email, like, almost immediately from an editor, and she said, I love your proposal and your pictures, but I can't open the document. I have an old computer, so, like, can you resend this? Because I had sent some of my art with it, so she was able to open that. And then we just started communicating and talking, and the proposal was accepted. So my first book, I used a traditional publisher, I really enjoyed the book process, so I didn't know what it would be like, but I had so much fun putting it together. So if it's something, I don't know if you'll know if you'll enjoy it until you do it, but it actually was really fun. I didn't feel overwhelmed. It just was a really fun project. You know, you just break it into pieces and then it's doable.
I'm so happy to hear that, because for some reason, I've always felt like writing a book would be very daunting, and there's just so much. Like, I look at all the pages of a book and think, how do you come up with all of that? And to hear you say that you enjoyed the process is brilliant. So how did you go about it? Like, how long did it take you? Any kind of insight into the process itself on that particular book? And then we'll touch on the differences and talk about your new book and how you approach that one.
Right. It took about a year, I think. And with any book I've written, it kind of just flows from me. So I don't know, because we're painters, I feel like the process is really similar, that once you can get in that flow, you just let it come out of you. And I do think there's so much inside of us. Like, Laura, I know you have so much wisdom. And so I think that would just like find its way onto the page. But I don't, again, like same with my art, I don't try to control it. And I did major in English, so I was a writer before I was an artist. I did freelance writing, I wrote for a hospital, I wrote for some magazines, so it is my background as well as art. And you have to let yourself make a mess first. So same thing with your painting, like that first draft is going to be messy, and it's okay, you know, you just refine it. But I do the same thing with my art. I throw everything out there on the paper or on the canvas. I just like throw whatever comes out of me and I just let it sit there. And then I like kind of pick and choose like what works. So I'm editing out, or I'm starting with more and then I'm deleting. And that's how I paint. I'm not sure how, you know, if that's your process, but I like to work with more than I need. And then I slowly just cut back. And I find that's a lot easier than trying to add stuff. I always think subtracting is easier, whether I'm painting or writing. You know, I'd rather have more to work with than less. So that's what I do. And I think if we like restrain ourselves in our writing up front, we're going to miss opportunities. So that sort of unleashed, letting it, not worrying, not judging it, judging whatever happens on the page, just letting it all come out and then organizing it. And I think it's really fun, you know. So I think if we don't put pressure on ourselves that it has to be good, you know, that's when it's enjoyable and that's where we get to the juicy stuff. Because, you know, you surprise yourself when I paint, I surprise myself, like, where did that come from? And that's when I write. So it's very similar. I feel like if you did that, you would be surprised at the similarities.
I love that really abundant approach that you start with more, you know, and you just let it all out freely. Have you read that book by Anne Lamont, Bird by Bird?
Yes, I love that book.
Have I got the name and title right? I hope so. It reminds me a little bit of that, and I took something from that myself about, you know, writing your sort of shitty first draft and just letting it out. And whenever I'm struggling to write something, I remember that book, and it sounds a lot like your process where you just like let the pressure off and let it all just be there, whether it's good, bad, ugly, and then you can figure that out later.
That's so important. And if we saw people's first drafts or even their process, I mean, and same with my art, it looks a mess. I don't know anybody that like writes the perfect draft on their first try. I don't think it's ever happened. But you know, a lot of us have this hang up that everything we do has to be like good. And I think that's why people don't create, because you just literally can't do that in the process. You can't start there. So yeah, just being comfortable with and accepting whatever comes out. I mean, honestly, probably some really good stuff is going to come out if you just let it and not, you know, shut it down before it even gets to be something. So
I can see how it parallels your art process, which is beautiful, the way the two complement each other. And it's almost like the same set of skills in a way that you're applying to writing a book as you do with your art, or the same kind of philosophy.
Yeah. So I've been reading about this really interesting research from medical researchers, and they're saying that the heart has a brain that is more powerful than our head brain. And it sends 60 times more signals to our head brain. And the idea is that if you let that part brain find coherence with your, you know, the our head brain, then you're in this creative flow. So I think it just requires us to have a different approach to our creativity. And so when I'm writing, if I listen to my heart and just let it find expression and let that lead me, I feel like it's a much easier process, and it's just really enjoyable. It's really fun, and there's no judgment from that place. And like, you know, you can always go back later and fix it up or clean it up or revise it. So yeah, it's one way to make it a little more enjoyable and less stressful.
So your first book was more of a traditional art tutorial style book. But your latest book, The Story of Every Flower, is a much more personal book. It's really about your own painting experience over the last 10 years, your journey. So how did you get the inspiration or the idea to take on a book like this?
So I was sitting in meditation one morning and I felt this really strong urge to start making books. Like I, you know, you kind of, we know each other, and almost everything I do starts with like hearing a voice inside me telling me what to do, and then I just listen. So I felt this strong pull, like it's time to make books. And so I was like, okay, I physically feel like I have to do this. And then I came across two books. One was In the Garden of My Dreams by I think it's Natalie Leeds. Do you know her?
No, I'm not familiar with her.
So she has a book, and then Natural Curiosity by Anna Valdez. So these are both artists that have these art books. And as soon as I saw them, I was like, I'm doing that. I'm doing it, and there's nothing that's going to stop me. Like, it was decided right then and there. I don't care if I have to staple pages together myself. Like, I'm making a book. So, but I wanted to do it my way, because there's some more formal art books, you know, like in galleries or in museums, and I wanted mine to be really personal and intimate, because it's just not me. I'm not a formal, like, stuffy person. I wanted to put my own twist on it. So I added, it's a mainly an art book, so it's a large, like 9x11 coffee table book, and it's very visually driven with all colorful images and tons of my art. But then it's paired with little vignettes of my personal writing and my journal. So I'm trying to like connect with the reader, not just visually, but with my words. And I like that pairing, because I kind of feel like it's another connection point. And I love stories. And I think I don't know if it's like this for you, but there's so many interesting stories behind the stories of your art and of your journey and of the people that you interact with as you're creating this art and, you know, your experiences. So I wanted to like share all of that with the reader. And so it's a kind of different. I don't know if I've seen a book quite like it. I just did my own thing.
And how did you go about actually making it happen? So turning it from an idea that you had while you were meditating into an actual book? Because that's the bit that I'm curious about, because it's easy to come up with the ideas, but not so easy to have the, I guess, dedication and drive to make a book. So what happened next?
So once I decided I was doing it, there was like no turning back. And I just started working on it every day, pretty much all day long. You know, my beloved Moksha, he has a graphic design background. So he would sit with me and show me how to use InDesign, which is where we did it. And he did a lot of the design with me. And so I just, every second I had free, I would work on the book. And I mean, honestly, I became a little obsessed with it. It's like the reason I woke up in the morning. Like, I thought about it all the time. And I think because I really, it was like a heart-led project. I believed in it. I wanted to share my story. I had like specific intention behind it. Like, I want to inspire others to listen to their heart and their wisdom, because a lot of the story is about me listening to that inner wisdom. And then another theme is like turning burdens into blessings. And I want to share that perspective with people and just hopefully inspire people to see their own story in mine. And then I also hope people are creating their own world. So if you want to do something, like, I want people to do it. And I had a really strong feeling behind the book, that this is an important message to me. And that's kind of what pushed me forward. And then I ended up self-publishing it for a lot of reasons. And another reason is, you know, my parents are older, and I was like, I want them to see this. I want them to see like this 10-year journey, which it is kind of this, it documents 10 years. And it was really important to me that they see this. So I kind of made that with them in mind. And I'm always thinking of like my descendants, like if I have grandchildren or great, great grandchildren, I'm always like, I want them to know who I was. This is my story to them. Like, I might not be around for them, but I want them to, these are my values, like follow your heart, you know, so it had a lot of power behind it. There was a lot pushing it forward. Besides me just like, you know, hearing that voice, it was like, there's a lot of reasons I want to do this.
It's such a great example of what can happen when you do let your heart lead the way. Because hearing what you're saying is that this book came about for reasons that are very different to what many other people might write a book for. It was about legacy. It was about, you know, sharing your story to encourage others. And I certainly feel that way about your story, because it is so powerful. When you spoke on our podcast last time, which was almost a year ago now, and the episode is called Being Brave Enough to Listen. And it's so potent, the way that you talk about how you went through such a hard time in your life and how you were able to see the good in it and that good things grew from it. So anyone who's listening who hasn't listened to that episode, I definitely want to point them that way, because it gave me tingles and I think about that conversation a lot. So it's one that I suggest to artists that are maybe struggling a little bit with confidence, because you have such a beautiful way of letting everyone know that we all have our own, I guess, like you say, a story to tell. We all have our own power within us. And I just want to thank you again for that conversation, because it certainly carried on and is part of your legacy as well.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Yeah. That, you know, what we talked about, my medical crisis that began, it really almost took me out. And, you know, but at the same time, everybody has probably something like that. And so, sharing your story is a gift to other people. And then it also allows you to create it for yourself. So you get to write your version of your story, and that can be really healing, and it's a way to just connect with others. So thank you. I do appreciate that. And you know, I've had people say to me, like, I'm not going to write a book because it doesn't make money, and I only want to do things that make money, and that wasn't why I wrote this book. And so with all that motivation behind me, it was easy to write it, because of that, which I think as creatives, it's important to know why we're doing what we're doing. If we're not following through, maybe it's just because there's not that importance like pushing us forward, and we really have to examine like what our motivations are
and what our values are. I think that's super key, isn't it, to making decisions in a creative business.
Yeah.
You know, we get tension when the decisions that we make aren't in alignment with the things that we value. But then when you make decisions that are in alignment, it's like you and this book, it's just this beautiful thing that can happen. It has this force behind it. So I think that's a super important message when it comes to running a creative business.
I think when you do that, it opens other opportunities. So like, I feel like creativity, it just grows exponentially. So when you do something like this book, then it gives me other ideas, and I can do this, and then I can do this. There's so many things come from that. As I dive into something I'm really interested in, like maybe, you know, some online classes based on the book, or a picture book based on the book. So it just keeps growing. I feel like, you know, when you've got all that heart behind it, and
So you mentioned before that when you were working on the book, you became kind of obsessed with it, and it was what you were working on sort of all day, every day. How did you manage writing a book with the other aspects of your art business? So keeping up with your painting and your online shop and licensing and all those things.
That's a good question. I decided at the beginning of the year that this book was going to be the center of my whole year. So like the products that I designed and every in the marketing and everything I did was going to be centered around this book. And I've never done that before in the 10 years I've been an artist, but it was so much fun to have like an anchor. So, you know, I did some online classes based off the book. All my marketing was geared toward that. So, and then I designed products that were inspired by the book. And I tried to keep the thread all connected somehow to it. I mean, I work a lot. I work 7 days a week. I pretty much work from morning until night. But it doesn't feel like my job. So I don't mind. There's nothing else I want to be doing because these are all like passion projects. So if you asked me if I wanted to do anything else ever, I would say no. Like, this is every minute is like what I live for. So, I mean, working on these things is just like brings me so much joy. I always wonder if we're like just programmed, like, as you know, like squirrels are programmed to like, you know, collect nuts. And I'm like, is this what I'm just, I can't help myself. Like, I have to do this. This is like my natural state, you know, like I'm just like, I don't really know. That's how it feels. It feels like I'm living, like moving as I should be moving. And that's what I do. So I just let that guide me. And
so how do you take care of yourself? Because for me, listening to that, that sounds like I would get exhausted and burnt out. But you seem to be, you know, on this lovely wave that you, you know, riding along. And it's, I'm curious, like there must be some things that you are doing in order to keep your energy levels up so that you can keep on riding that wave.
Well, I do yoga every day. I mean, I count my, I guess we call it self-care. I count that as like work hours. So I feel like to be the best artist or writer or parent or whatever, you know, anything I can be, I have to do yoga. And that is really connected to my creativity for me. And it's science. I mean, even like scientifically, or, you know, you can connect that. You know, I do take care of myself. I do sleep a lot of, like, take a midday nap because I work all morning, and then I'll take a little nap and then I work till like 11 o'clock at night. So I don't feel like I over exert myself. Yeah, I just love it so much. And, you know, there's so many aspects of being an artist or a writer. There's always something else I can do. So if I need a break from one thing, I'll just jump to the other. And, you know, my painting time is like, that's just play, like on the weekends, you know, so I never really count that as my work hours. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I said, I feel like it's like my natural state. And I don't push myself if I, you know, I don't get to that point of exhaustion.
I love that you include your yoga as part of your work hours. That's amazing and a great way to approach it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the most important thing I do for my art. Also, for my writing, I feel like it's really key for me energetically. I do think that we need to, like, keep our, you know, energetic pathways clear, and that's important to me. So,
do you have a bit of a rhythm that you follow with each day? Like, you mentioned having a nap in the middle of the day. Is that something that you do on a regular basis? I guess what I'm asking is what's a day like for you? Like, when do you get up? When do you do the yoga? When do you work? How do you fit it in?
We get up around like 6 and have breakfast and do yoga. And my meditation is usually my yoga part of that. I don't know. I mean, I usually write in the morning, and then I'll take a break and then take a, like, I don't know. I mean, I might nap for like 30 minutes and then I'll do some painting. And I always write out the day before. I'll write out what I'm going to do. So I have an idea in my head. And I also think writing out things is really powerful. It's almost like magic. Like, you're starting to put things into their, you know, manifestation by just writing them down. So when I want to do something really bad, like if I'm working on a book or a series of books, so I have a lot of books going on right now, I'll just write them down every night. I just write the titles and I just like rewrite them. It's a weird practice. Until they become like real, really real to me. Like, I convince myself that this is happening just through writing it over and over and over until it seems like it's real. And so that's a weird thing that I do, but I've done that my whole life and it works for me. But yeah, I mean, I just pretty much in the morning, get up. Yoga is like the most important thing I do. I feel like my whole day is off if I don't do that. And also, I'm really lethargic in the morning. My body is like, it doesn't want to get up and everything feels slow. And it's the only way I wake up. So, and then Moksha like jumps out of bed and he's like ready to go. And I'm just like dragging. And so I have to do yoga. But I think also what I do is like, I treat myself during the day. So like after yoga, I have like more, I have morning chai, and that's like the, one of the highlights of my day is drinking chai. And then, you know, like throughout the day I have like little treats, but like the nap is like a little break. And then we have like our afternoon tea and like just little, checkpoints along the day that kind of give us structure. Cause I know that, you know, we're artists, so we have no structure. So I guess I create that, but I create it with like fun little moments, you know, that we kind of build into our day. I used to swim, but I haven't done that since COVID. And so we've kind of had to readjust our schedules.
So at the end of each day, you sit down and then write kind of a list for the next day.
I do. And it's weird. And I'll, like I said, I write it like three or four times. Like I'll just write the same thing. I'll keep writing it. Right. I don't know why I've done that. Yeah, I do that. And
keep doing it. Clearly it's working.
In the end of the day, I have a little moment of like gratitude for the day. And in the morning when I'm doing my yoga, it's become sort of this celebration. I talk to my ancestors and I pray and I, you know, just have this like really beautiful spirit practice in the morning that I think it really helps me. But I always think I have like a bunch of ancestors working on my side and helping me all day. So I feel like that gives me energy and power. And I feel like I get more done since I have this like this belief that they're working on my behalf. So that's a little woo-woo, but I had to get that in there, you know.
It's really...
It wouldn't be a conversation with me.
It's really inspiring to hear about how you approach your day. I'm going to take a few of those ideas on board for myself because I've got a fascination with daily routines and rituals, and it's always interesting to me to hear how artists approach things, and particularly what you said as well about how we often don't have much structure, so we do need to create these markers in our day. But I like the way that you do it. It's got a nice flow to it.
Yeah, like snack time and
time.
You know, I have a fondness for books, and I'm like, I want to live my life as if I'm a character in a book that I really would love and a character I would love. And so like, I feel like we get to create our own days. And if we want to make them magical, that's a choice. And so I think, I don't know, I'm so obsessed with this idea right now that we really do get to create our own realities, even despite there's a lot of horrible things going on. But still within that, we can still create these little moments that make our lives, you know, really exciting and enjoyable and fun. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do every day.
I couldn't agree more. It's so empowering when you make that realization that we get to create our lives. Like that's what we get to do. We have way more power than we give ourselves credit for. And you're definitely testament to that with all the things that you have manifested and created in your life.
Sometimes we don't get to choose what happens, but the big theme in my 10-year journey, I think this is a theme in the book, is like, we don't get to choose what happens to us, but we do get to choose how we respond. And that's really everything. And that's what we're doing. You know, when we can't, a lot of things are going to happen that we can't control. My medical problem was like a big wake up to that. But then we get to choose how we write the story from that, from there. So, I mean, people complain about being in lockdown, and that's our story. That's the story. But there's also a lot of potential in being in lockdown. And, you know, unless you're severely suffering, I mean, there's a lot of good to it too. So we were all challenged this year to write a story from that. Are we going to complain and talk about how horrible it is? Or are we going to like make it awesome? And that's a choice that we get to.
Yeah. And I've found looking at what's happening online and seeing what other artists are doing, that there has been some absolutely amazing things that have come out of this COVID-19, because people have had to think differently and go outside the box and redesign their lives in a way and their creative businesses. So as you say, it is, you know, life is going to throw plenty of hard things at all of us. I think pretty much all of us have got something that we've really had to struggle with or work through, but how we respond to it is the key. I wanted to get back to the book process, and how long did it actually take you to write your book?
Yeah, so the most recent one, it took about a year, and mostly that was because of a lot of the design. So there's full color photos on every page of the art, and I was a total newbie at using InDesign. So the writing was mostly done because this had been like journal entries and Instagram posts and things that I had written for 10 years. So it was more like collecting those and then sorting them. And but the actual putting the book together, layout wise, took us about a year, and then we kept making changes. And I think it's a good thing because I feel like you need, sometimes these projects, you need to kind of let them like simmer and stew, and you get to see them in a different perspective. So we made so many different iterations of this book. We kept editing and kept editing, and every single time it would get better. So I'm really glad we didn't rush it. And I tend to rush things because I get excited and I want to like put it out there. But I was just talking to someone saying, like, give yourself time. This is something that you want to, like, for some reason, that amount of time really helps. You get like a different perspective, and it's amazing how much improved it kept getting. So I would not rush it for sure, even though I wanted to like share it with the world. But I think, you know, just being really diligent, and I mean, I looked at it every day and worked on it a little here and there, and it, you know, it just really adds up over the long run. But you know, as long as you're having fun with it, and I feel like you don't stress yourself out, you just let it be what it is. It can be a really great process, and you could hire somebody to design it, but I like to have that control. It's my art, so it's like it's my baby. You know, this, I'm sure you feel the same way. Like, one of the reasons I self-published is because I didn't want another designer choosing which images we use and how we cropped them and where they were placed. And I wanted total control because this is so important to me. I don't think I could hand it over to somebody else to make those decisions because it's like my heart, my story. So, yeah.
So that's one of the advantages of self-publishing. And I guess with self-publishing, you also have you get to set the time frame too. So you mentioned being able to take quite a long time with the book without having, I guess, the deadlines that you might get from a publisher. But on the other hand, you also then have to have the discipline to, I guess, eventually say that it's finished.
Yeah, well, and you know, the nice thing too is, so even though I could make it as long or short as I wanted as far as time, but with a publisher, it could have taken 2 or 3 years or longer, because if I had to submit a proposal, I'd have to wait to hear back, and that can take like 6 months, and sometimes you never hear back, and then you know, then it has to go into like acquisitions, and then, I mean, it's just a really long process. Sometimes it takes 2 years before they print, and that's one of the reasons I did it myself, is because I was like, I want to get this out, like, I don't, because it's 10 years I'm excited about now, I don't want to see this in 3 or 4 years come out, because my energy and enthusiasm towards it is like right now. So that is one reason I actually self-published, is to speed up the process. Yeah. And also, you know, just to pick the quality of the paper and the size of the book and all those little decisions and the title, you know, they would have had control over all of that. And so I also knew this is going to be really hard to publish because it's unique and it's different. And in my experience with publishing, which I mean isn't huge, but I've talked to a lot of authors and artists, is that they don't like anything that's like avant-garde. Like, they want proven success. So they want to see what books have been successful that are just like yours. And there's really not a book just like this. I really made it my own thing. So I think it would have had a hard time publishing it. There's no precedent for it. They might have said, no, we're not doing any of your writing. We just want the art, you know, like a traditional art book. And I just didn't want to deal with it. I just wanted to do my vision. So if you have a kind of a strange idea, it might be better to self-publish it.
Did you know right from the outset that you would self-publish this particular book?
Yeah, I think I did. There were so many factors. When I did the first book and used a traditional publisher, I didn't have a large audience. So I feel like I really needed their support in getting it out there into the world. So that's a plus of having the traditional publisher, is that they can, their reach is way farther than mine. And I don't have to deal with any of the, you know, distribution, into stores. But, now I have a bigger, audience that I felt like would support the work. And, I didn't want to sell on Amazon because it's just a personal choice. But I really love independent bookshops, and I love physical stores, because when I was a child, like, bookstores were like church to me. Like, I would go in a bookstore and think I was in heaven. And so I want bookstores to be in communities, and anyone who owns a bookshop is not in it for the money. Just like, I'm not an artist for the money. I really admire those people that want to like provide that service to their community. So I was like, no Amazon. Would they sell 80% of books? I don't know if I'm shooting myself in the foot, but I was like, I don't care. I'd rather fail than sell on Amazon and know that I'm hurting these places that I adore. I'm not judging people that do sell on Amazon. I was just like, I don't want to do it. So if, by self-publishing, yeah, I don't have to do that. And, you know, so that was another benefit for me, is I can control the distribution of it, and I'm probably going to sell way less books. But that's okay. You know, my drive for this wasn't like, I'm going to make a bunch of money. That's just not why I wrote the book. So yeah, but there's pros and cons for sure. But, the process can be so long with the traditional publisher, unless you're on some fast track, if you're like a celebrity. But
so with the self-publishing, there's quite a bit of work then that you need to do as far as getting your book into local bookstores and wherever you want to sell it, as well as the marketing. So you take on pretty much all of that, don't you?
Yeah, it's a ton of work.
So how are you managing that part of it?
I look at it from the perspective that it's really fun to learn something new. Like, this is a whole new world to me, and I love learning. So I took an online class about how to market your book. It's called the Chilton Method, and this man is like a self-publishing guru. And so I'm taking this online class, and I was like, oh my gosh, I love learning. I love being in school. I love it. And I've read some books about it, and my attitude is like, this is so cool. It's so fun. I don't know anything about this industry, and it's wild. I mean, it's a weird industry. So I'm like learning all these like secrets of book publishing that I didn't know. And I just think it's fun. And then I just do the best I can. So it's like, you know, I don't want to put pressure on myself. I feel like adults can ruin anything fun. Like, we can literally take the fun out of everything we do. And I refuse to take the fun out of this. I'm like, this is my book, and this is my baby, and I'm going to have fun. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to do the best I can. And that's it. And so it's just, you know, baby steps, like same thing with art. I mean, I think you and I have been painting almost about the same amount of time. And it's, I don't know if you feel this way, it's just like tiny steps every day. That's all I can do. And just enjoy it, you know. I'm not going to ruin it for myself. So that's what I do. I've been learning. I've actually hired a woman, a publicist, to help me, who has some experience with this. And we're just going to do the best we can. And, you know, hopefully my community will support it. And that's it.
I love that you take that approach of just having fun, making sure that it's fun always. It's incredible. It's inspiring. And I can see that as well with the marketing posts that you've been doing on Instagram with
your dad making some comments and your family members. I love it. It's so funny. They're really great. And you can see that you're having fun with it.
Yeah, I feel like it is fun because it's like, we're going to do this. I'm going to do it my way. So kind of like, you know, everybody wants Oprah's endorsement. And I'm like, I'm going to get my family to endorse it. You know, like I'm going to do everything opposite of what the normal way to do it is. And yeah, like just enjoy it. Instead of, I feel like there's so much pressure on authors today. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when an author's book comes out, they're like, they're so pressured to sell it. And I feel like it kind of takes the fun out of it. And there's all this pressure to be on like these bestseller lists. And I just hate that. I'm like, gosh, what? It's just like we make everything like not fun. And it's not about that to me. So just doing it my own way. And yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's a reason we don't do things. Some of it is this buildup of like, well, what if it's not successful? Or what if nobody buys it? And it's like, well, if you don't worry about that and just, you know, enjoy it, then I think it's way better. And you're more likely to do the thing if you're not so stressed out about that kind of stuff.
So I want to make sure that we provide our listeners here with the opportunity to get a copy of your book. So what is the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so the best way right now is on my website, and it's carrieschmidtdesign.com. So I am shipping internationally the book. You know, I don't ship my products internationally just because I'm like a one-person show and it's just too much work for me. But I am going to sell the books all over. So that's the best way to get it right now. And
when do you start shipping the books?
So, okay, it was supposed to be out, like, they promised me mid-September. I turned everything in the first week in June. So it was a while ago. But because of COVID, there's been a ton of issues for this company. And they're legit. I've had lots of conversations with them. So I'm trying to be patient, but they're thinking it'll ship next week. So it'll ship early October. And so then as soon as I get them, I'm going to sign them and then ship them out. So we're ready to go at my house. My children are my employees. And we have an assembly line. So they've been stuffing. People get like little packets of goodies and things like that. So we've been labeling and we're ready. We're just waiting for the book.
Okay, so that's brilliant. So if someone pre-orders now, they're not going to have to wait too long. It's very close.
No,
it's imminent.
Yeah, it's I know. It's like I kept waking up in the middle of the night and like thinking like, what if there's a typo? And so that's the only stress there's been. I'm like, what if a page is upside down? Or like I've had these like moments of I told Moksha I'm not going to be able to look at it. Like I'm going to be afraid to open it just because if anything's wrong, I'm going to be like, oh my gosh. But yes, it'll be here soon, I promise.
I just can't wait to see all of your beautiful paintings, like in a book form, like a book that I can actually hold in my hand, because I'm very much a book person rather than an online. I haven't been able to quite get to audiobooks or even, you know, Kindle and all that sort of stuff. I like physical books. I can't wait to see your book in its physical version because your paintings are so vibrant and they just, yeah, they grab me and I can't wait to read about all your little bits that you've included, the stories behind the paintings.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I have not read an ebook or I do audiobooks, but I can't do the, you know, the Kindle stuff because I love to like smell the books and hold on. But the one nice thing it about the book is like, it's a really affordable way to own almost every painting I've done in the past 10 years. So it's like, the pre-order price is $35, but you can have almost all my paintings, which I think is really cool for people that appreciate art but can't necessarily afford, you know, originals. It's like, well, you can have all of them in this book. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm excited. Definitely. I'm hoping, I want to hear if hopefully get some, you know, feedback. I'm hoping it has a positive impact.
Oh, I'm absolutely sure it will. I've seen a little bit of it in the online version, a bit of sneak peek, but yeah, I can't wait to see it, Carrie. It's absolutely beautiful. Before we go, I actually did want to ask you, just you touched a little bit there on the fact that COVID-19 had an impact on the company that you're using to get your book published. And I also just wanted to ask you more generally about how has, you know, the pandemic, what kind of impact has that had on you over the last year? Because that's happened since we last spoke. And what's changed for you?
Well, so I was a little nervous when it happened just because we're artists and I was like, oh, I don't know if people are going to buy art or, you know, like what's going to happen. So I actually, you know, started doing the online classes, which I've been meaning to do for a long time and putting off. And so, I mean, in that way, it kind of pushed me to do that, which I'm really happy about and I enjoy. But it's funny because I decided to do this book and I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. Literally, like, I made the whole book and I was like, I don't know, something will happen. It'll work out. Like, this is not the best business approach to doing things. But I was like, oh, something will come up. Then I did and then COVID hit and I was like, oh, I better teach online because, you know, like, we're stuck in our homes. And then I did, and I made enough money to pay for the book. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, so that worked out. And now, you know, then they could be printed. So I did that. And then that's how I like run my life, by the way. So something always happens that works out. And so I started doing that. And then the other thing, I feel like COVID it's really changed me on a personal level, which I don't really separate from my business. It's all kind of blended. I feel like I'm really craving making more relationship-based connections with people in my community, my art community. And I don't know if that's just from being alone, but really reaching out more online and interacting with people and creating these live moments where I interact with them, you know, my community online. And so that's been really cool. And then as far as my art, again, in my life, I really feel this urgency to really let myself be who I am. So I painted my car. I want to like really share my message. Which the reason I painted my car is it's sort of an act of rebellion. There's like a ton of like, there's just no color where I live. And I almost want to like remind people that we can like live a different way. Like, we can imagine a different reality. Like, who got to pick the car colors? Like, why are they all gray? Like, what? Who did that? Like, I should be in charge of car colors. And I'm like, how did the color phobes get in charge of everything? Because all the houses are the same color, you know? And so I really feel like more of this urgency to express myself, to like, even in my clothing, and to be like, we don't have to, you know, wear gray all the time. I live in Seattle and literally everything is gray. And like the houses, the clothing, the cars, it's like everything's gray. So I don't know. I want to live out loud. Like, I feel like I want to get louder. And I don't know if that's my age. I don't know what's happening to me. But it's like a result of COVID, of like life is short. And where our life is like coming to this like almost this destructive phase. So what are we going to birth from this? Like, we have to create our own world. And so that's been a theme since COVID. I don't know why, but
don't question.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know.
I think that's a wonderful thing to come out of COVID. And I love how you described it as living your life out loud. I mean, that's perfect. So I think we'll wrap it up here on that beautiful note. Thank you so much, Carrie, for coming and chatting to me again about your book and particularly for being so honest and giving us an insight into the actual process and the behind the scenes. So thank you very much.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. It's such an honor. And I enjoy talking to you anytime. So thank you.
What a brilliant and encouraging conversation. Thank you, Carrie, for taking the scariness out of the book writing process and showing us all how to bring joy and magic into our creative lives. To find out more about Carrie and her latest book, head to the show notes at laurahornart.com/the podcast/107. I'd also love your help in sharing the episode. One of the easiest ways to do this is to take a screenshot and post it over on Instagram in an Instagram story. Don't forget to tag Carrie in that. Her Instagram handle is @CarrieSchmidt. And I'll just spell that for you. It's C-A-R-R-I-E SCHMITT. And of course, you can also tag me so I see it, and I'm at Laura Horn Art. Thanks again, everyone. I hope you have a great week and that you'll tune in again next time.